Welcome to Real Love, Real Stories, the podcast, a platform for couples to share their love stories and for singles to find hope. I am Kanu, I'm the host, and you are tuning into episode number 6. And I want to introduce my couple for this episode, my very longtime friends, Vissel and Stephanie. Enjoy their love story. Thank you for joining me, Stephanie and Vissel. I'm so excited for you guys to be a part of this podcast. I have known you guys and I've been trying to think how long, when was the, what year did we meet?
Mid-90s, late 90s.
Maybe 97, 98?
No, probably 99.
Okay, maybe 99. I don't know.
probably 98 or
do you remember when you started St. Greg's, St. Gregory's?
That's a good question. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. I think, 97, 98 maybe?
I knew you before then.
Right, yeah. So, wow, it's and you guys were dating already, right?
Yes, we started dating, yeah.
In 97.
97, yes.
97, awesome. So, which is actually a perfect segue into my first question. As a couple, do you mind sharing what your love journey has been? How did it start and how did you guys meet?
Okay, you can start.
Well, we met while working at a retail store. We both worked there and we became friends right away. Yes. I think we just kind of a connection, and I just kind of had a respect for her being a freshman in college and doing some of the things she was doing and just being so independent. And I just kind of gained a lot of respect for her that way. And we had a lot of interest in music and things like that. And so became really good friends just through work. So that was in 96, actually, is when we first met and became friends. And we started dating in 97.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So you decided that, okay, you started off being friends and you had similar connections. So what was the moment when Vissel, you decided, let me ask her out on a date?
I don't know if there was one moment, but I just know that when we were friends and I would travel back home to visit my family in California, and that's usually the time when I spend with family. I just enjoy time with family, but I would always feel that when I left that there was still something that was kind of missing. And so, and that was, you know, that was Stephanie. And so, so it was just me being gone away from her kind of made me realize that, that I wanted to be with her more than just friends.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
We were just friends and he went to California for 2 weeks and I missed him a lot and I just couldn't wait. And I actually stayed in his apartment while he was gone and his roommate was gone. So I just stayed there and I just couldn't wait for him to get back. And so when he got back, I think I knew, you know, that we needed to be together.
Oh, that's beautiful. So you started dating and do you recall what your first date was? Your official date?
Oh, no.
No, I don't.
Because we had hung out for so long that it was just a natural transition to just slowly. I don't even know if we discussed not being friends. I don't know. It was just, we just weren't friends anymore.
It was so organic. There was no discussion needed to be had.
And we didn't, I don't know. We just never, we didn't have a discussion and we just, I think we both knew we were on the same page without even having to say.
Oh, I love it.
We just spent a lot of time together.
Yes.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
And we just continued in the same path, you know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So then you dated for how long before you decided to get engaged?
5 years. 5 years.
5 years. Okay. So what was the proposal like?
We can talk about that. Okay, so we had taken a trip together to Costa Rica. Uh-huh. And then he went back to California and I had been going to California with him usually to see his family, but this time I didn't go because we had been on vacation together and he went home to see his family and then he came back And I remember I was putting some of his stuff away out of his backpack, and I saw this little pouch with, I didn't know what was in it, but it just, I just stopped what I was doing and I put it down. So I was like, well, I'm just going to put this away and move on, because I don't want to get my hopes up if it's something, you know, I'm just not going to think about it anymore. Right. I don't know if it was the next day he proposed. But kind of like the nature of our relationship, it wasn't any big grand, I mean, we were just hanging out and he asked me to marry him. So,
oh,
a big hidden wedding ring in the champagne glass or anything like that.
not hidden in a cake or anything like that.
Movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had thought about it in Costa Rica, and I wanted to propose in Costa Rica because beautiful black sand beach and so forth. And we were out for a walk one day, and I thought about doing it, but I just didn't have a ring. And being young and a guy, I just didn't know, like, I didn't know the whole process. So I didn't have a ring. I didn't do it there. And so when I went to California, I was talking to my mom and my aunts, and so what was in the pouch was some of their kind of Cambodian type rings that they brought here. And so I didn't even know if she would like it, but I wanted to have something that was culturally from my culture. And so so I actually had like two or three that I brought back that I just wanted her to pick from. But then we kind of thought about the actual ring and the significance of it, and we just decided that it would be better to have something that we actually designed. And so we didn't get those. We actually went to a jeweler and designed something together.
Yes.
So, oh, nice. Yeah. So
non-traditional in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long have you been planning to propose to her from?
Probably over the course of a couple months, I would say. So.
Yeah. So it sounds like you went and had a discussion with your family and said, I'm really interested in proposing to her, right? Because that's how you ended up with those three rings.
Yes.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So can you explain a little bit about your culture in terms of how does that, is that what normally happens?
You know, I don't know what normally happens, actually, because my mom's marriage and some of my aunts were arranged marriages. So not any, what we did was not anything cultural. And so there's the traditional Cambodian culture, and a lot of marriages were actually arranged. So,
yeah.
But obviously growing up here, becoming Americanized, that's not something that that our family continued to practice.
Right. So when you say that you guys went and designed your own ring, were you designing it, combining the three rings, or did you design it with a completely different?
We did a completely different ring.
Okay.
Yes. Well, he had three rings, but he was only going to keep one and send the other two back. And then we ended up just liking different aspects of different rings and decided just to start from scratch. And we just made our own. And we sent all three.
Oh, nice. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So what about the wedding? How can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was, we invited people from all over the country because he had family in Rhode Island and Texas and California, just kind of all over. And, you know, just bringing two cultures together is sometimes a little difficult because each culture has expectations. And so some of the planning was, you know, difficult and just trying to, you know, I felt like make everyone, you know, happy. But ultimately, I mean, I felt like we had a great wedding and a great, you know, it was a great experience. So maybe 150 people or so, kind of, I think.
Yeah.
150 or. And so he was in med school at the time. And so we, you know, just, and I was in grad school. So it was just a hectic time.
Right. But
we were both, you know, I was working full time and in grad school and he was in med school, but
yeah.
We pulled it off.
Yeah, that's awesome. So was the wedding in Oklahoma or was it in California?
We had originally wanted to do the wedding here and then do another reception in California for do a more of a traditional Cambodian reception. Mm-hmm. And then you know, just logistically and with the cost and time off work and stuff, we just, and most of his family did make it here. Yes. So we didn't feel the need to have to go back out to California and do something else. So everyone came here. And so,
it went
well.
I just love when two different cultures merge into this one beautiful love relationship, and just see how you sort of intertwine your two different cultures together. So, and I feel, you know, I'm just smiling from ear to ear because I've known you guys for such a long time, and you know, and we've continued to be a part of each other's lives, even though we don't see each other often. But, you know, I sort of follow you guys on Facebook and see your kids growing up, even though I don't see them all the time. But I feel like, you know, I've kind of been a part of that in a way without actually being present, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So what about, do you guys have any terms of endearment for each other?
Just typical honey.
Yeah.
Sweetie.
Yes.
Names.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have anything major.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. You
know, Diesel. I mean, I guess if I'm like calling for him from across the house or something, but mostly it's just, hey, honey. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. So what about?
Babe. Yeah, there's babe sometimes.
A babe.
Oh, yeah.
So what about, Viso, I'm going to start with you. What one quality or two about Stephanie do you love?
I think the biggest thing about Stephanie that I like is loyalty. Like, she is a very loyal person. And if you get to know her and she gets to know you, and I think she is one that everyone can count on because she's, you know, she's loyal. And the other thing I would say is a hard worker. She's a hard worker. So yeah. Those two were, I think, the biggest thing that attracted me to her. And so I think, you know, with our group of friends, I think everybody knows that if they need something done, mm-hmm. Stephanie to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And I remember that about her too, because, you know, from a working coworker aspect, yes. Absolutely. So. Yeah. Yeah. So what about you?
I would say that's kind of at the beginning of our relationship, I think. But now I think the biggest thing that I admire her for is that she is a woman of God. And so she is very grounded and very biblically sound. And I think I look up to her because she kind of keeps our family focused on God and putting God ahead of ourselves. Which is kind of what we've been taught in our church. And I think that's made our family closer, and it's given us a stronger relationship. So I think some of the things that I look back 20-something years ago that I admire about her are still there, but then other qualities kind of come up too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, I was recently in Oklahoma with my sister being in the ICU.
Yes.
Stephanie came after, I think you guys had gone somewhere and came back, and she came and said a prayer in the room with my sister, which meant a lot to me. Then we sat down and caught up for a little bit, but just the idea that you took time to come in and say a prayer, that meant a lot to me because I really needed it at that time.
So I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
So what about you, Stephanie? What are one or two qualities about Viso do you like?
I love that, and this is what attracted me to him and still what I see in him every day, is that he's a friend to everyone. He's always willing to help. It doesn't matter what he's doing. He doesn't ever he's put out or that he has anything else to do. If you need him, he will help you.
Yeah.
And when I met him in a retail setting, the funny thing was is we all worked in our own departments, you know, kind of like, you know, when you and I worked together.
Right.
And I never knew what department he worked in because he was always in every department helping
out.
What department is he in? And so I love that he would never say, well, let me get somebody that works in that department to help you. And do whatever he could to help anyone. And he does that with our friends, with our kids, with me, and with his patients. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's always willing to, you know, even at when I wish he wouldn't, you know.
Right. I was actually going to come into and say, how fitting is that, that you're a person who loves to help others, and now you're actually helping others in sometimes the most difficult time of your life when you're dealing with some health issues, right? So.
And, you know, I also feel, you know, biblically, I feel like he really keeps our family together, and he leads. You know, the Bible says that the man is the head of the house. And as being an independent woman, sometimes it's, you don't want to think that you are, you know, second behind your husband. You want to feel like you're co-leaders in that. But I feel like he is just, he just leads all really well. And I never feel like he tries to, you know, be the boss. It's always a give and take, and a, you know, we decide things together. And so I feel like, you know, we can honor God with our marriage and with our family.
Oh yeah, you come together. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, no, you know, as a single person, this is my hope too, that if I ever, when I do meet the guy and get married, that we'll be of the same faith. Because yes. My ex-husband was not of the same faith, and there's a lot of struggles that come with that when you don't have the same. Mm-hmm. So,
two cultures is easier than combining two faiths.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
I could name a lot more because I feel like, you know, he's I don't think anyone meets him and can think a bad thing about him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So. I have to ask, on the flip side of that, what are some of the things that, you know, two people together, what are some of the things that probably are little annoyances that you deal with?
The thermostat.
Okay, tell me more about that.
I like it cool to go to sleep. I don't need it cool all day. I just like it cool at night. And he doesn't. He thinks that you need to wear as little as possible and use the sheet and turn on a fan and you're good. But I think you need to have blankets and cover up and be snuggled. So it has to be cool so you can do that, right? Yes. He does. So we are constantly in a battle of I'm turning it down. He's turning, I'm turning the air conditioning down and he's turning it up. And yes.
Yeah.
He's a woman of comfort. I'm a man of practicality.
Yes. Keep the air, you know, not turn the air on a lot. And at night, I want to be nice and cool when I sleep.
So. Right. You're like me, Stephanie. I keep my house at 65 when I go to sleep.
Ooh, yes. Oh, yes. That sounds, goodness. I'll come hang.
And I want to have covers on me. I want my face to be cold.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Yep. So at 65 degrees, I'm happy.
We agree on 69, and he's got a fur blanket on top of all the other blankets.
I tell her if she's in Cambodia, she wouldn't be having the air conditioning. So,
yeah.
So be glad 75.
Right, right. What about you, Bissell?
We view money maybe a little bit differently. She is one that will, if she wants something, she knows what she wants, she'll go out and get it.
Yes.
And I will do my research to make sure we get the best price and make sure that we kind of spend our money the way we need to spend it.
Yes.
Right.
So, I do appreciate, because I'm impatient and I don't feel like I want to buy a whole lot, but when I want to buy something, I'm ready to get it and let's move on down the road and, you know, make our purchase. And when he's like, well, let's spend a few days researching the best price and go. So I do, you know, I don't know if it's that we're a good mix. He's good for me in that area because I'm ready to close the deal.
Yeah, so where do you find the time? You're a doctor and you're a dad. Where do you find the time to research for stuff?
At night when everyone's asleep?
We're night out. We're 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. No, that's great. It sounds like you balance each other off, which is good. What would you tell people like me who are single and looking? What advice would you have for us in terms of, like, you know, finding that right partner?
Well, to me, it seems like, you know, you're on the right path with your life. You're an independent woman. You're beautiful. It just seems like God is preparing your heart for the partner that he wants you to be, or, you know, and to have. He's preparing your partner for you and you for your partner. And it just seems like, you know, continue to develop those things in yourself that you feel like maybe you should work on, and you know those. And if you continue to do that, I just feel like the right person's going to come in and you're going to complete each other, as corny as that sounds. I do feel like you know, when you do life together, you just have to have a good balance, and you lean on each other at different times. And I just feel like you're such a great woman that you would be just a perfect match for someone. We just have to figure out who that is and get that going, you know?
and figure out where he's at, right?
Yes. Okay. Maybe he's in Oklahoma.
I was there for a month and a half and I didn't meet him.
You know the saying, opposites attract?
Yes.
I disagree with that saying. And so we've kind of...
They might attract, but yeah, I don't think they necessarily always make good partners.
In long term. And it and part of it just depends on what the opposites are. But like couples need to have a common bond, things that they do together. Like we see sometimes a lot of couples that are having marital problems or have been through divorces. A lot of times those couples, they lead separate lives. They don't go do things together. The husband may have an interest, the wife may have an interest, but they don't have a common interest where they say, hey, once a week or a couple times a month, this is what we need to go do together. And right. And so my biggest advice would be find a common interest that will link you to, that will keep you spending time together. Because once you get into kids and kids sports and kids school and work and career, sometimes I just see too many people drift apart in the things that they're doing, and they're doing separate things, but then they don't have any, and which is sometimes okay, but when you don't have anything to bring you back together, to yoke you, then I think it makes it difficult to have a strong relationship. Right. And it's easy to fall apart.
So. Right. I think you kind of touched on actually my other question, which I ask is, you know, what is the secret to your relationship? I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, but it sounds like what you just talked about here is exactly, you know, the same advice you'd probably give to married people, right?
Yes. And it's communication, which isn't always hard. I mean, which isn't always easy. You have to be open and communicate the things that you want to think about, because if you're talking, right. And so as long as we communicate and we pray together, we spend time talking about the, you know, that are going on in our lives, and then we pray about it. And I feel like since we're keeping God at the center of our marriage, you know, everything else just falls into place to some degree. We have to work at getting a date night in because we are so busy. But you know, at the end of the day, there isn't anyone I'd rather spend my time with than him.
Yeah.
And so we'll make time to play tennis, or, you know, we walk several times a week. We go out and walk at night for 30, 45 minutes and, you know, just talk. And so you still have to date your spouse.
Yes.
And so that's a key for being together and still dating.
Yeah. And I think for guys, when I talk to them, I give them the advice of you still have to pursue your wife as if you're dating. So sometimes we get lackadaisical. Sometimes I get lackadaisical in that, but you know, we're been married for 16 years. So, you know, I probably may not do some of the same things I used to, but I do try here and there to make her feel like she's the only one here in this house, and we forget about the other three kids, you know? So, but yeah, I think still, the other thing is Stephanie touched up on prayer. I think that was one of the hardest things for me, because, you know, I didn't grow up that praying out loud. And then when you're praying with your spouse and you're talking about things that you want prayer for, or what you're praying through, whatever situation, mm-hmm. I think that's a new level of intimacy that sometimes couples don't have.
Right.
And then, you know, I think just, and along with that, it just opens up the communication. Right. And And also if we are fighting, it also softens our heart towards one another so that we're not angry at each other.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things our pastor preaches on is like, if you pray with your spouse, it's hard to get angry with the person that you're praying with.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we keep that in mind, I think it makes life easier. So, you know, if we are going through a difficult time and we have problems that sometimes we can't, or it might be hard to handle. And sometimes when we pray, it makes it seem like we don't have to have the answer.
Uh-huh.
So, and that lessens some of the anxiety and stress that sometimes some people go through.
Right. Yeah, no, I think those two points are great, you know, especially when you talked about, you know, you want to continue pursuing your, in your case, Vissel, your wife, right? Because
yes.
Sometimes people, you know, and I was married before.
Yes.
Once I got the ring on my finger, I'm like, you know what? Not that I wasn't paying attention to him, but I think how you put it is very important for married couples, even people that are dating, to sort of keep that in mind, to say, just because you are together, just because you married her and you have kids, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to stop that, you know, showing him or her that, you know, they are the most important person in the room, right? And that helps, I think, keep that marriage fresh and going, for sure. So I really like that point that you touched on.
Yes.
And I think my other advice for couples with kids is that your wife is more important than your kids. So I think that sometimes gets lost.
Yes.
With our generation, because I think sometimes we try to be the generation that is
hands on,
and we try to be maybe better than our parents and how we were treated, or we just, I think sometimes in turn we do too much for our kids, but right. Then in turn we forget about our spouse. So I think, you know, the other advice I would give people with kids is to put your spouse still ahead of your kids.
Right.
And plus, you know what, because that's also just an example for your kids to see what a marriage should be like.
Right.
And so that's what I hope that my kids see, and that's what they strive to look for when they're ready to get married.
Right. No, that's a very important point, because when I worked as a, I had couples, and when I did therapy for graduate school for my internship, you know, the two couples that I worked with that come to mind, one of the things that they complained about, it was in both cases, it was the husband complaining about, you know, the wife not paying attention as much to the husband since the kids came into their picture, which, you know, they put their all into now being a mother, or sometimes now being a dad. And then you forget that when it all started, it was you and your wife, right? And so you kind of have
it will be just the two of you again, you know. So right. You need to wake up, you know, 20 years later and say, who are you,
right?
You know, and not really enjoy the person you're with or not know them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Perfect. I like that. Yeah. So this kind of concludes the questions that I ask. I don't know, do you have anything you want to share, maybe that I didn't ask, that you feel like would be helpful for singles that are looking for love, and also for couples that are, you know, married and had, you know, maybe something to add to what you already said?
The single advice is a little bit hard because I'm so far away from that. Right. But obviously, I think look for somebody that has a good and pure heart.
Don't lower your expectations because you feel like you want to be with somebody. Like, really hold out for the fillet and don't settle for the sirloin.
Right.
And I think another thing that there is something called the five love languages.
Yeah.
And I think just know, and we periodically retake that test just because things change.
Yeah.
So I think just knowing what your spouse's love language is and trying to honor them that way and how they want to be loved, uh-huh. and not the way that they need to be loved. So I think that's my other advice is, you know, you can, 'cause do that when you're dating. You can do that when you're married. You can do that when you're 30 years married.
You can start at any time.
My guess for you guys, Viso, I think yours is Exo Service. And I think for Stephanie's quality time. Am I anywhere close?
His is physical touch, which is my lowest. And mine is tied between gifts, which is his lowest, and quality time. Yeah. So you were right on mine. Mine was tied quality time and gifts. And so he's so practical. If I try to buy him a gift to show my love, he's like annoyed because he doesn't want anything. And so I'm like, just buy me a present.
Right.
But quality time is up there for both of us.
Yes.
So definitely.
Yeah. And, I absolutely believe in that. The love languages, I absolutely believe in that.
Yes.
We do too.
And so when I first took the test like 15 years ago, quality time wasn't one of my top ones. But I feel like as we've had kids and it's been harder and harder to spend time together, I retook the test like last year or the year before, and all of a sudden, you know, quality time was up there. And so it just, you know, your heart can change because that's harder and harder to come by. So.
Yeah, no, I love that so much that I actually, one of my jobs as the program manager in my previous job, I was teaching the 5 languages of appreciation in the workplace. It's the same languages that you talk about, except touch obviously is not there because, you know, that's at work. So I Gary Chapman and Paul White, who did that together, quite familiar with them. And I strongly actually, for couples, even dating, even families, like your kids.
Our kids have taken it, so
that's great. That makes me smile because I love that very much.
Yes.
Yeah Well, you know, I would talk to you both for a long time, but I want to take this time to say thank you for taking time to chat with me and share your love story with everyone. And again, you know, I'm smiling from ear to ear, and I'm just so excited that you were able to do that with me today.
Yes.
Sure. Well, and we hope this helps anyone that listens also.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Do you have a love story? Do you know a couple with a love story? Please send me an email, kanukayi@gmail.com. And also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Real Love, Real Stories.